Kia ora, te alofa hai, and welcome to the latest episode of Tanarumanga's Team Talk, proudly sponsored by Victual, New Zealand's first health and wellbeing supplement that combines ancient Māori and Pacifica wisdom and ingredients. And my guest tonight is Stephen Beaver Donald, All Black great, All Black legend, Chiefs player, a bloody good counties man. He's played a bit of footy in England and Japan, now back in New Zealand, and has started an alcoholic drink product, Grins, with a couple of well-known mates. Mate, I won't chuck those names in there just yet, eh? It's all about you today.
And thank you.
And also, mate, he's had a movie made about him after kicking the winning penalty in the 2011 Rugby World Cup final against France. And, Steve, it's great to have you on the podcast, man. How's things?
Hey, T, thank you for your completely over-the-top introduction. You're acting when you start talking like that. But, mate, it's good. I mean, life's good, busy. But, can't complain, mate. She's all go.
Oh, you know, and I can understand with everything else you're going. You know, you're a radio host as well now. So, you know, so talking in these things, I'm just kind of taking you for another hour of work. Sorry about that. But, I'll try and make it as painless as ever. We've got to go talk about that kick. But I want to talk about where I was when you were taking that kick. I was in a small box up the top there looking down. And I was sitting with Serge Betson, French great, and we were outside first. We were watching in the first half, and then the second half, I actually had to go inside. I'd had very bad luck as at World Cup, so I lost my medal and winners, so I couldn't watch, and all I could hear was Serge Betson laughing at me. You know, like he was sitting there laughing. Tell him, go watch. I was like, I can't. And then, you came on and the kick. And I was like, that's a great story. Look at him, you know, where he's come from. And I was also thinking there, look who he's replaced too, the guy. He's the guy, you know, after our time in the Chiefs. And then all of a sudden they had success when we left. I always remember that because Serge, he couldn't stop laughing at the way I was at, you know. And obviously, mate, you know, it's not often I get to talk to someone that I've made a movie about either. You know, that's next level.
T, the movie was very much an add-on. The movie was, I was up in Bath, as you said, and I had a phone call from Simon, my manager, and he said, look, they're talking about doing a movie about you. What are you thinking? And I'm like, I said, it's never going to happen, is it? And he goes, I can't imagine it. And he said, I'll just go back to him and say, yeah, whatever, sort of thing. And then he comes back to me about a month later and he goes, oh, yeah, they've got all the funding and it's all go. So it's before you knew it, that one night in park had turned into a movie.
And I think talking to you about that, did you have input into it? You know, like they have, you know, obviously the movie, then they look to the, they look to the guy that it's all about. And, you know, were you there on set?
I had a series of interviews with them, hours and hours of interviews. And then that was it pretty much. And then got sent back a few scripts and I had no rights, no editorial right or anything like that. But there's a few things. So I said, come on, we've spiced this up just too much, you know. And so, I mean, as we all know, like there was always going to be a little bit of GST sprinkled all over it. But I guess the general outline of it was pretty accurate. Mm. And then, I guess they've got to put a bit of movie, bit of Hollywood on it.
But, 100%. Did you have someone in mind when they first – asked you about being in a movie, who's going to play me? Did you ever think,
Well, of course it was Brad Pitt or, someone like that.
Like for like.
But obviously David ended up doing it and got to know David well and he's a good bugger. And everyone, I've only watched it once and I may have had a few drinks when I was watching it, so I can't remember word for word, but a lot of people have watched it and said he did a pretty good takeoff of me. So, it's a funny thing. having a movie in that. But the one thing, and you know, so me, I don't like the limelight, but sometimes, you know, you get parents and that's come up and say your kid's watched it a million times, and whenever he's missed out on a team, they've made him watch it. So I was like, oh, no problem.
Cheers, mate. That's awesome. Hey, I suppose, like, you know, just going on that too, Ro, like, around your resilience, you know, I know you've talked about it at length, you know, how you said, you already mentioned it about flipping your life. And as you know, as now, especially kids, social media, and what they're having to deal with when they get knockbacks, you know, yours is a great story, you know, being able to flip that. And how, you know, our fans are some of the most loyal, but they're also some of the most brutal. They've got long memories because they know the game so much. But for you, the way you handled that, you know, and, you know, so we played together, and your disposition, like, you hide things, you know, everything's a smile in it. But, yeah, I think you've said it, how much it did, you know, actually, you know, it did affect you. And, you know, chip on your shoulder, that's great. And how do you use that as motivation, you know, to take the next opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I won't say that, you know, and you were with me in 2011, I didn't think I handled it. Like, I didn't get past it for, you know, by the time probably Super Rugby was finished, which unfortunately I wasn't able to play my best in Super Rugby that year to prove my case, because I just think I never got past, I guess, the fallout from Hong Kong. So it took me a long time. But in the end, it got to a point where I was just like, you know what, you can't be defined of who you are as a person by your performance on, you know, that one game or what have you. And I mean, when you're younger and that, you are defined by, but personally, you define yourself by what you dish up on a Friday or a Saturday night at Waikato Stadium, and your mood for that whole week after is determined by how well you played the previous weekend, you know. So it is tough, and I think you only get it from experience or what have you. But I think the big thing for me was just being comfortable that, you know, this is who I am as a person, and I can't let the rugby side of things dictate what sort of bugger you are. And you know, it took me a long time during that 2011. I wish I'd worked it out by about February or March, so I could have, you know, played well in Super. But unfortunately, it just took such a slog to get there and to become at peace with myself. But mate, you mentioned, like, today and the social media and stuff. I think, well, we were in an era, I think, still that you could, if you wanted to avoid things, you still could. And if you had the discipline to lock yourself away from the outside world, you could block a lot of it off, which I always did, you know. And I didn't, you know, I jokingly say to people, like, my life back then was I'd come home from training, I'd chuck on the comedy channel, and then I'd go to sleep, and then I'd repeat and go back to, you know, training and that, you know. So there was no hunting out rugby shows or hunting out the internet, and social media was just starting to become a thing and stuff like that. So I think the younger generation, I think, probably because social media is such a part of their life, would they be able to just block, like, get off it and get away from it? To, as you say, some of the best fans and the harshest fans are in this country. So it's a real balancing act for the younger boys coming through. And, you know, I wouldn't wish, I guess, what I went through on any of the young boys. But if it did happen, then I think you'd have to find mechanisms that, you know, of almost, you know, one, finding some, I guess, peace of mind that you are who you are, and you're not you're the individual, not the rugby player. And then obviously trying to block out anything that's going to derail you from that, which obviously comments on bloody social or where or whatever it is they get it from, you know.
What was the thing that kind of brought you, you know, back around, you know, what were the mechanisms you used, you know, to get you back, you reckon?
I think towards the end of the NPC that year, I was just back. I just got started to enjoy footy again. And I just, you know, like, I mean, we've played with plenty of people, and there's almost like a switch that went off in my head. Like, you know, the All Black thing's over, and you're never going to be an All Black again. And you know, and that was a real bitter pill to swallow. But it was just more a case of coming at peace with, you know, you still got friends who aren't, you know, going to be. They're still there with you now. They were with you 10 years ago, and they're not going to be out of there just because, you know, you played a bad game in Hong Kong or what have you. So I think it was just the realisation that that it wasn't defined by one performance or a couple of performances, you know, and that was the big thing for me. And mate, like I said, it took me forever to get my head through that. Today, you know, with the amount of support you get around some different teams, you probably would have cracked that, or maybe back then, you know, too macho to admit that it's playing on your mind, you know, instead of going, no, I'm fine, sweet, I'll brush it off, you know. But it would have been, you know, obviously hindsight's a wonderful thing and you'd love to have done it differently. But, it was pretty much just coming at ease with, right, this is who I am as a person. And, you know, yes, I can't define myself by my 80 minutes performance on the weekend, you know.
Mm. Yeah, well, there's a lot that goes into that 80 minutes, eh, that people don't see, and then all they see is the end product. And yeah, like you say, there's a lot of things that goes into that 80 minutes. You know, you got 15 other blokes trying to take your head off or beat you up. Not everything goes your way, you know. And like you're saying, you know, with just coaching, and I know you dabbled a little bit in the coaching when you returned. You know, it's a real thing for some of these young guys too, eh? You know, like social media, you know, some of our young men, well, you know, they get a start at super level, at professional level, and then, you know, geez, they make a mistake, and that's all they're reminded about. You know, we saw stories like guys just going back to their phones, and they're sitting, and you know, you come off the field and they're straight on their phone, and they're just reading it. And then, you know, you can just see the mood of, you know, what kind of comments they're reading. And some guys, obviously they have to change. They're like, some guys, like, they just had to delete all that kind of stuff, not look at their phones. But like, don't worry about your phone, you know. Look. And having those changes, as you said, we're probably, and there's still a long way to go, I think, getting that support and understanding what is required to support these guys, you know, as you said, especially now, you know, having men trying to say, oh, yeah, I actually need some help, you know. It's, a lot easier now for men and for the boys and things like that. But I think, as you know, it's not just in sport that's an issue. It's in life, eh, you know. And there's still a bit of work to be done. I think we need to talk a little bit about, you know, you're still living in Wauken. Good on you, mate. Good on you. And you're a proud counties man, and you know, just talk us through, you know, a bit of your upbringing. You know, when you say, I still can't believe you went to Wesley when you tell us, hey.
I know. Like born and bred out here. Grew up, you know, dreaming of one day playing one game on Pukki Stadium. Went to, you know, like, counties used to get a lot of Sunday games, and we used to go there on a Sunday afternoon, sit on the bank and watch, you know, the greatest provincial backline tier teams like Wellington apart, you know. And you know, like Jonah and Joelle, like I've told people, like Jonah and Joelle in full cry on a Sunday afternoon at Pukki Stadium is just the best thing you can witness, you know. And it was just magical, you know. And I guess it lit a passion for me, but I just want to play one game on Pukki Stadium. I want to run down the tunnel once, and it never really, like, I missed out on county's age group teams up until about 16, so there was never, like, I never really thought it was realistic. I had dreams and all the rest of it, but I never thought it was realistic. But about 15-16 started making the odd county's team, like Johnny Farr and Jerome and Joe Rocks, and then they all got poached and went to St. Kent's, Auckland, and I'll never forget. And then I guess
yes, you've paused again, bro.
But the stage where, you know,
true up, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Just if we can just go back to the St. Kent's thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just yeah. You know, you didn't. If we can go back to the St. Kent's, we can just take it from there.
So, yeah, and then, you know, obviously started to play with, in the counties teams with John Afar and Jerome and Joe Rocks, and then all of a sudden they got poached by the big money in St. Kenigans and Auckland and left me behind. But then it got to a point where, you know, got to age sort of 16, 17, and I guess I developed physically and all of a sudden got a yard of pace, and which just stayed that 1 yard of pace. but then sort of played counties first 15 and county six and my sixth on the end, sort of just, it didn't become easy, but you know what we're like out here is quite a small little province, and I thought to myself, well, maybe I need to go somewhere, and I still stayed in contact with Johnny and Joe and that, and they were trying to get me to go to St. Kent's, and it was about the same, and I had the tours around St. Kent's and all the rest of it, and it was about the same time they brought in the import rule. Which obviously St. Kent's chooses some years to play on and just ignore the other years. But then all of a sudden counties got word of it, who I didn't even think really knew I existed, and said, oh, why don't you go to Wesley? And, you know, I stopped and thought about it. This is bizarre, because the previous, that same year, we'd played my first 15, well, I could have played Wesley second 15, and we'd won, but it had turned into an all-in brawl. Ooh. After one of them took my head off, and I got pretty badly hoed into on the ground and stuff. And so I'm sitting there thinking, so I'm going to go to school where I got pretty much done over by, I guess, next year's teammates and all the rest of it. But I thought, you know what, like, I thought if I'm going to make it or have a chance, why not have a crack and have no regrets? And it's only 20 minutes down the road from us. I was a day boy, so I still kept, I guess, my Waiuku sort of lifestyle and my Waiuku mates. But I just happened to be going to, at the time, the best first 15 in the country. I was the only there's four Palangis in the school, and I was the conductor at 10 for the first 15, and people always, it blows people's minds when I tell them about it. But like, I loved it. You know, like, I got Sidovini, obviously, and, you know, he's one of my great mates, and he was there, and I went to school for both of us. But, like, you know, like, the time I had with them, one of the teachers started talking to me in Fijian one day because he thought I was an albino Fijian because I was in with that crew. It was quite comical, some of the things that I've got stories on at the time at Wesley, but just opened my eyes to another world. And you know, like, as I said, I wouldn't change that year for anything. And it gave me, you know, halfway through that year, I get summoned to the principal's office over the loudspeaker, and it's to play for counties that weekend. And you know, like, as I said, my only dream was to play one game on Pukki Stadium. Well, I sort of did it when I was 17, so I was ready to retire. But and again, it wouldn't have happened if I didn't go to Wesley. So just so much to be grateful for there. And yeah, I mean, we won all the comps that year and stuff like that. And like, it's just when we're playing those games and they'd ship the whole school to them. And like, we're a school of 350 kids, you know, and beating everyone and anyone. It was quite a cool little year to be a part of.
Oh, don't worry, everyone still remembers it too. Even with my time at counties, it's still talked about. You know, a lot's changed at Wesley, as you'd know.
Yes.
Now, and you know, the first 15 is probably not as strong because the school's not as big anymore. Eh?
No.
And then, you know, like, The sad reality is, you know, second division rugby with counties and yet to move down the road with City.
Yes.
And again, like, I think the one thing about, you know, when you're there, eh? You know, you've shown your loyalty to Waikato and, you know, your time, and you've left a stamp down there, a footprint that's pretty big. But also around, you know, like, I suppose those times, you know, you made some good friends, but you started to get delve into the that world of business as well, you know.
Yeah,
I remember when we were down there, you already had a bar with Mills and as Cux as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, Cux was in there. Yeah.
I don't know if he's made any money, mate, because I'm sure none of the boys wanted to pay that when we were down there.
No. And you know that generation of Chiefs, they were pretty keen on a night out. But no, I mean, like when I was down there, I always, I don't know, when you went home to sleep, I was going to university. So I always had the business studies ticking away. And yeah, I guess we fell into the bars, and we had the bars for a good few years. And it was, you know, like successful. Oh, it wasn't hugely, but it was again like a great eye opener, and like we were literally going along for a ride with a businessman, and he was sort of, you know, directing us on his experiences really, and you know, like what we learnt and all of that. You know, we had a few issues along the way. We went through mediation at one stage because we were conflicting with one of the sponsors of Waikato Rugby, and New Zealand Rugby had to get involved. So I went through mediation as a 23-year-old, my first step into business, or 22. And so all that sort of stuff, which now you look back and just say, oh, great experience. At the time, I was thinking, oh, no. But, yeah, so just things like that. And as I say, you learned so much from going into it. And, yeah, obviously a bar is a natural fit for those three individuals. So I guess that was the first dabble into business, and yeah, just again something, and you probably know too, T, is just something that else the young fella you could do to take your mind off that, you know, that high pressure situation when you're in early 20s with the rugby week in, week out.
Yeah, look, I think you're the exception, you know, you and your mates there, in terms of, you know, our generation, especially, you know, that generation where more inside the bar and, you know, as you said, or, you know, after training, we're just going home and having a sleep because we're just, you know, for me, I was recovering from training to get ready for the next training.
Yeah.
But you were doing the course, you know, your uni paper. So that was always in your mind that you wanted to get into business, or, you know, like, you know, obviously the Players Association and all the, you know, the PD that you love to go to, you know, that was on board, and that was kind of getting, you know, going from strength to strength as well. So, you know, was it just in your mind that, no, I know I've got to have something in the back of, you know, at the end of this?
Yeah, I mean, like, so Dad was a life high school teacher. So he was a teacher for 50 years. And I mean, the condition that when I went to Wesley was, yep, you can go to Wesley, but you've got to get your bursary, which, you know, like, I don't know how you make that deal. It's too late by the time it comes. but that was the deal. And then when I started playing the rugby, it was always, and it was again driven by Dad and Mum that, you know, this could all be over pretty quickly. So once I left school, I always enrolled in university. The business, like I did a business management degree in HR and marketing down in Hamilton.
Yeah.
And it was never a great passion or anything from the start with. It was just, well, it's a bit of a generic thing, generic degree. Let's just get involved. And the one thing I do remember about our early days of, I guess, getting into the fully fledged professional is, and obviously it's a completely different landscape now, but back then it was obviously, you never had a long-term contract. And I mean, they used to fly us down, all the new guys, the Super Rugby, used to get flown down to Wellington for like a 2 or 3 day little clinic. And I remember them clearly saying the average Super Rugby career is 2 years. And so they drove that home to us, and like that became a real realization that the whole one injury and it's all over scenario, that was just driven into us. And I don't know, I think now, I mean, I don't want to burst the bubble for PDMT people these days, but I think realistically now, if you get Super Rugby sort of once, wherever you end up in the world, regardless of the money level, you're always going to have a contract somewhere, I think. Mm. But back then, I think, you know, only 25 Super Rugby contracts per franchise or whatever it was, and then a little bit of overseas stuff. I think it was realistic that you could be there 1 year and you could be, you know, unemployed the next sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that, I guess that sort of really drove me, I guess, trying to keep up with my studies. Sometimes I didn't, but it certainly was a good trigger to just like, you know what, it could end tomorrow. And I was lucky. I used to live with Kahui a fair bit, and he's the world's tightest man. So he would always be saying, "Hey, we're only one injury away. We're only one injury away." And so he was good to. I just keep that in check too. So it was no good living with City because he made me bankrupt on the heating bill. But that was just, I guess that was one of the things. We just got that rammed home to us at a young age on, and New Zealand did a good job at that, sort of reiterating that.
Funny how you say about Kahui always telling you about one injury away when he was, he had a few of them.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that he's still going?
Oh, I know. Yeah, well, he hibernated in Japan for 10 years, so he got those shoulders back.
Yeah. Oh, no. And I suppose, like, you know, from there, you know, we've talked about, I'm just looking through my notes, and you went for mediation as a 23-year-old, and I just went through, you know, when I was doing some research, you couldn't even get into England, mate. They wouldn't let you in because of your visa. I said, mate, you must be one of the unluckiest guys. I've never heard of that before.
No, but again, that was all for about 2011 when that was all gone down with, because I hadn't started a test in the last 16 months, I'd been on benches, but I hadn't started one. That didn't, as a New Zealander, that wouldn't get you automatic entry. So I signed that BAF deal. I think they came down and met us when I don't know if you came or you're already injured by the time we went to South Africa. Oh, no, you came to South Africa.
Yeah.
They came down and met me in South Africa. And I didn't sign then and there, but I had a good talk with them and that. And I got back and I said to manager Simon, I said, oh, I don't want to sign it if it's going to, you know, derail my All Black chances.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, Ports had the pretty tough job of saying, yeah, they've told me you should sign as a current All Black. I was like, oh, okay. So this was about halfway through Super Rugby. So I was obviously, my cards were marked. So I signed the BAF deal. Ted, bless him, wrote a letter to whoever they had to write, because it came out in the media that I couldn't get in there with the visa, but BAF has always felt that they had it under control because they had this letter from Ted that they were then going to take to the immigration and say that, I mean, Ted made up a yarn that's saying, oh, had he not been injured, he would have started this, or what if someone. And so we got in that way. But, yeah, so, and because I had to keep quiet about that. And so you'd be going to play, you know, when we went and played around New Zealand in the Super and the NPC, you'd be getting people yelling out from the crowd, oh, you can't even get a contract over there and all that sort of thing. It's like, oh, geez. Look, I've got a contract, okay? I just, fine. So, yeah, no, that was another part of 2011, which just manifested.
Just keeps adding to it, eh? Sorry for bringing it up.
I'd actually forgotten about that part.
Oh, I just, yeah, like when I was going through, I thought I need to ask him about that, but he just gave no luck, mate.
Oh, I couldn't buy a trick, mate.
It's a bad. Hey, it finished well, though, mate. Hey, you flipped it on its head, and you're the one that came out smelling like roses. I suppose in that, like, you went to Japan, and again, one of us, mate, you know, like, we know how life in Japan is. And I remember, you know, like, when we were at the World Cup, when Japan had the World Cup, and, you know, like, oh, they've got the Shinkansen and they're the train system, eh, all over the place. And you know how many trains you're on, how many people are in Japan, you know, and I'm sitting on a train in Japan going from I don't know where to I don't know where. And then who should just come onto the same train as us? It was yourself and your lovely wife and your newborn.
Yes.
How do you figure that out, eh? I just thought, geez.
It's amazing in a city of, obviously a city of 30-odd million and then a country of bloody millions and millions that things like that happen. And it's not the only time you just bump into people.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, especially when you just, all you want to do is just sit in your seat and make sure you get a seat.
Oh, hang on. Do I know that guy?
We all know from the earth, goodness grows. Victual, New Zealand's own health and wellbeing supplement range with native and Pacific ingredients. Visit victual.co.nz and take your first step to help your goodness grow. And your time in Japan, you had a couple of stints there. And I remember you came back to New Zealand. I think I even had I reached out to you, just get some experience, some of that that Stephen Donald experience into the Blues at one stage. But you're too busy, mate. You're just too busy.
It's funny the amount. I mean, you reached out to me. I think prior to you, I think JK had a crack in between Japan stuff. Had a couple of stints up there. Like Japan's a funny one for me. Like I loved it, but then when you're up there, you want to be back here, and then when you're back here, you want to be up there. It's a funny old one. But that first stint, I went up and I actually got my love of rugby back, to be fair, in that first stint, because I'd come from Bath where I was told to kick everything up until about my opposition 70. And then I went to Japan and I just happened to sign a deal. I had about three or four clubs flew me over for a bit of a flying mission to have a look around. And there was three first division teams and one second division team. And they all thought, oh, here we go, to one of the big first division teams. But the second division team was also about to sign Anthony Boric. So, and I knew this, and we talked. So I said, oh, well, we'll go there. And so we're playing second division footy together. Shane Williams was with us too, and just had fun, And it was like back playing probably high school rugby, but 30 years ago when there was no structure and it was just, you'd kick it and people would look at you going, well, are you going to chase it or who's chasing this? And it was just good fun, and it was easy, but I guess, and I'd signed 2 years there, and it was the biggest contract of my life, and they'd rolled it over again for another two, and then just one day I was back, I was back in Waiuki one day, and I just sort of thought, I could go back up there, but I've got a competitive itch in me still, and just sort of, I ran up Simon and said, I'm not going back, I might have a crack here, and he goes, well, I've got nothing for you. So I think within about a day, I signed a $17,000 contract with Waikato, which was a fair cut down from my Japanese deal. And then I didn't think anything would come of the Chiefs, because the Chiefs had a great couple of years. But then I got a message from Renz about 2 weeks later and said, I'll come round for a beer. And I thought, well, if he's inviting me for a beer, we're going to get on good. So this is a good start. And went around with Renz, and Renz said, well, you want to be chief? And I said, well, I'd love to win a title. And he's like, right, well, you tell your Japan team that you're done and we'll make this happen. So it was done like that. And we just shook hands, and he said, I don't know how it's going to work contractually, but just as far as I'm concerned, you're a chief again. So loved every time of it. But then obviously was able to fit in little short-term gigs back and forth after it. And Japan's a great place, and I think it's just going to become a more and more big feature of our life, our rugby landscape. When you and me, definitely they required you up there for 10 months of the year and 2 years, 3 years deals, which probably a lot of people off. But now you're seeing, talking to Damien McKenzie up there at the moment, he's up there for 6 months, getting all the benefits of being in Japan for 6 months and coming home. And that's just going to appeal massively to boys at different times of their lives.
Well, you're right. They are elite players. Obviously, as everyone says, it's the money aspect, but it's change of environment, different style of rugby. And everyone, they play so quickly, don't they? Which is awesome. I think, like you say, the enjoyment. I think people don't probably understand that. That enjoyment factor, eh? About even you've mentioned it a couple of times, when times get tough, you actually start to wonder why you're playing the game. If you're not liking it anymore, why do I do it? And anything else you don't like it, you just drop it and move on to something else. So you've got to figure out, again, how do I get it back? And usually it's just going back to, shucks, how did I play before? Get back to IQ and, run around, then you realize, oh, actually, no, it's not for me. Stick on it. It's too muddy, Naz.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about Japan. You wake up in the morning of a game. Sometimes you have to remind yourself, oh, I'm playing a game. It's not like you've had that sleepless night from, sitting in a hotel somewhere thinking, oh, no, I've got a game, bro. How am I going to go? It's you wake up, oh, I've got a game. Got to catch a train to the game or, get a taxi or whatever. And it's just, and then you're out there playing and, no one really cares. Like, people care about the result, but once you leave that stadium, you're one of 50 million and no one knows that you're a rugby player. You could be an American Army soldier for all they know. And it's just it's a nice, refreshing way of life, And I mean, that's, again, a big appeal to some of the boys that go up there. You literally you're just another number. Go out, play your game on the weekend, and usually finish by 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon, and the rest of the weekend's yours.
Nice, that's what you love. I suppose you mentioned Damien McKenzie, who's one of your partners in your new enterprise. So now, you're back in Wauke, you're at home. What are you up to now? Then you've got a couple of things on the boil, just fill us in on that.
So doing the radio stuff with SNZ. So I do the drive home show at sort of 4 till 7 every day with Kirst Stanway, who's carries us through because she's a professional. And I'm very lucky to have her guiding the ship. You go in there, going to Parnell every day to do that. So a bit of a hike up there, but it's good fun. It's as much fun as you make it, and when it certainly from my experience in the sport, and luckily the station's got an attitude that we're not there to bring people down. We would rather champion the champions, as Baz McCallum, our skipper, tells us. So we're just there pumping people up, and take the good side. And so that's that part of the day. Did a bit of. With one of the old Wellington teammates, I went down and helped with Floss with the Waikato boys this year. And
nice, congratulations!
I can't take much credit because once that border got in place, all I did was a Zoom session a couple of times a week. So, but that was an eye opener too. Doing a few days a week down there with Floss, and we've been in market since November, but. Probably since the middle of the year last year, started, what a lot of Kiwi males fantasy is, and that's start your own booze company. So we've rolled the dice on it. She's been a eyes wide open scenario, but just ripped into it and just worked the butt off. And, we're starting to get a bit of traction now, and we're a long way from where we need to be. But if it all ends to nothing, then it's been a hell of an experience. I'll tell you that.
Oh, man, I can imagine. I know what you're talking about when you start something up. I'm just interested. You just started to do it in the middle of 2021.
Yep, middle of 2021. Me and Damo had done this. There's a sports sort of recovery thing that we'd had, and we'd had a little bit of money in a kitty, me and him together, and. We were literally thinking, well, it wasn't enough to do anything substantial with. So we're like, oh, should we buy a racehorse and just almost put up against the wall sort of thing. And then one day sort of just said, well, should we have a crack at an RTD? And because, I'm a beer drinker, but, RTDs are the way of the future. And well, they appear to be. So, and Damo's, yeah, why not? So I just went off and did a bit of investigation and talked to a few different people and started to do some numbers and all the rest of it. And I said, well, we can have a crack at it, I guess. So we decided to have a crack. And then once we got into it, we realised, the keys were going to be success. So we brought in a couple other people. As I say, it's been since probably middle of the year. Just going full noise and getting to a point where we were delayed a bit through COVID to starting when we wanted to start, but in the end got away in sort of late November. We were told that it was probably going to be too late to have an impact on summer. And we probably haven't had a massive impact, but we've got up and running. It's been, as I say, once you got in there and you'll know what you're doing to you, once you get in there, it's a whole lot more than you ever anticipated. But the thing I like about it is, this might seem weird to people, but it does keep you up at night. you know, and you do get it when you get a win, you get a kick out of it, you know. Yeah. And since I finished playing, I guess probably, you know, proper rugby, and when I say proper rugby, probably New Zealand, the things that keep you up at night and getting kicks out of things, you know, a few and far between. But I do like it, you know, like the wife thinks I'm working too hard and the boys all think I'm working too hard, but, you know, it's just like, oh, well, you know, you've got to do some hard work to get somewhere. So, I'm enjoying it. As I say, it's plenty of sleepless nights still, but, you know, you get your wins along the way.
And, you're talking about that feeling, eh? So, you know, what are some of the things that you think that you've been able to transfer from your rugby, you know, the skill set that you had there, into the business? You know, you know what the feeling that you're looking for, so you know you're trying to get, you know what I mean. And you've talked about bringing people on, so networks, and you know, creating that team.
I guess the two things that stand out from the footy for me is like the hard work aspect. Like, I mean, whatever you put in, you're going to get out eventually. Mm. And I mean, probably in business, you can probably even go harder on the hard work thing, because you know, in rugby, there's an aspect of overtraining and doing too much. But I think in business, well, from what I've seen, you just can't do enough, you know, as long as you're keeping a remote bit of balance. But and the other thing I think is, you know, it's not rocket science, but it's just people, you know.
Mm.
You know, like you'd never, from my position, go and tell a forward pack how to scrum or how to line out. You would get alongside them and you know, like, you know, be their mate to get the desired result. Would be they would dish you up front foot ball and then it would work for you. And it's the same with, you know, whether it be retailers or people that are going to help you with your business, you know, you just form relationships with them. And, you know, like we've already formed great relationships with people that, you know, we didn't know probably 6 months ago, but now would consider mates, you know. So it's been a big thing, I think, just the relationship aspect that, you know, you have to have in teams, don't you?
Yeah. And, you know, we've had, you know, other guests that, you know, they talk about those networks, you know, that networking aspect, you know, is, I think, that's something that probably lost on some guys, though, when they're playing. They just, you know, you're creating those relationships outside of the team, and, you know, with, you know, sponsors and, you know, people that, you know, that want to help if you ask them, but you just got to kind of get out of that comfort bubble, and ask them, just get to know them, you know. And I'm sure you've met a lot of people in that aspect as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know what it's like when you're still playing, and you sort of, like, I was never a great networker when I was playing, and I don't think it was because I was in like bad circles. I think I was just too shy to, you know, like, sort of impose myself on a group of obviously successful people, and I'm still trying to finish my degree at Waikato, you know. So I wasn't great at that, but I used to observe a fair bit of it. But I think the boys are in a great position. Like, I think, like, you know, the boys that I'm in with,
You've just paused again, bro.
It's been beneficial for us as.
Yeah, I think you're right. Gotcha now, bro. Sorry, you're going to have to.
Oh yeah.
Just talk about those boys. You know the networks and that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think maybe the younger boys of today are probably better at the networking side of things. Maybe a bit more self-assured when they're in those situations. Mm. Like, some of their networking stuff has been beneficial for us as a business already. And it's just through them forming relationships. And I think you can probably, back then, I certainly probably overthought it in your head about what is that successful businessman want to talk to me about.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think, you know, like, the two that I'm in with, they're good buggers, and people want to talk to good buggers regardless of, you know, the situation. So they're great at that, to be fair.
Yeah. Oh, I suppose it doesn't help having those two guys. And, you know, you talk to Damo about making sure that he invests some of that, those millions that he's making over in Japan.
Well, the thing is, he's paying for Suntory, who's the biggest booze company.
Yeah, I just realised that, exactly. Any tips, or maybe path to market.
Well, exactly. And I'm an old boy of Suntory too, one of my 10 clubs in Japan. So who knows?
Oh, you never know, mate. You'll see how they feel about you if they come and see you or not.
So you've barely won a title since, so come on.
Ah, nice. So what's your actual role within the business?
Well, at the moment I'm in charge of everything, pretty much. The boys are in control of the social media and that sort of stuff because I'm granddad, so I don't have a clue on that. They tell me what to post and I post it. So the trucking, the distribution, the marketing, the relationships with the different retailers, all the head offices involved there and all of that. So that's been me. I've done all of that and it's been an eye opener and we've done deliveries ourselves. We do a lot of deliveries ourselves to, you know, little small places and stuff like that. And I guess it's just been all helpful with the relationship we've been trying to build with these retailers and stuff like that. So it's, I haven't got an official title. Damien says he's 2IC, so I'm picking I must be the one on top. So. I don't know.
I was going to ask. Sorry, bro. Don't worry. Hey, look, that's why it's not live, eh? So I can make sure that I've become good at editing because I'm usually editing myself. The future. You know, so what is, you know, what's the future for yourself and for Grins and, you know, in business?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know. The business is, you know, like it can go any which way. I mean, we could be not here in 6 months, you know, or we could be, you know, I've got no issues if we're here in 10 years, you know, so we're just going to keep, I guess, basically, but just keep working hard on it and try and keep growing it and getting it. I mean, the great thing about us is obviously we've got people behind us who've got a bit of expertise in the area, but the three of us, I guess, as individuals, we're all, you know, pretty competitive people. So we don't want anything we do to be a failure. So, you know, that'll hold us in good stead, you know, because if you don't want to fail, then you're going to work hard, aren't you? So that's where we see that going. I've got three under three at the moment, T. So the kid situation is, that's enough, by the way. She's full on there. So, and I mean, as you said, living out where I'm from and just, you know, like I've probably got to bring a bit of balance back to life after head down with this new thing, but I don't know when that's going to be. But I've got no idea about the bigger picture, but just to keep cracking on this and try and make a go of it, enjoying the radio stuff. The radio stuff is completely different than the TV stuff I've done. You almost forget that you're actually broadcasting to people and you start running your mouth off, and it's good fun. And I like a lot of my sports, so I love my cricket and my league and stuff, so it's, you can talk about all that sort of stuff and you're interviewing people and that, so it's good fun. And as I say, with professionals like Kirst, it's easy, so I don't know.
You said you got people working beside you. Do you actually have mentor? Did you have a business mentor, or, you know, when you got into this, or, you know, you like to say you just ask people all over the place?
Yeah, I mean, probably not a hard and fast mentor that, you know, like anything sort of set in structure that, you know, we're going to talk about this or that, but we certainly got guys in behind that I can ring up and I'll ring up once or twice a week and it'll just be, right, this scenario's popped up. What are we doing here? This has popped up. What are we doing there? Sort of thing. So that's been unbelievable to help then. And like, I mean, Anton organised us a Zoom call the other day to a couple of generous guys in Wellington who just were generous with their time of being in the industry and that. And they just literally just told us what they know for an hour. And, you know, just getting snippets like that along the way, you know, and taking what sort of sticks with what we're doing. You know, like when you're younger, you sort of think, oh, you know, people tell you listen here and listen there, you're like, ah, but like as you get older, you realise, oh, actually, we had that situation last week, and you know, or we're now confronting that situation to try and make our business grow or whatever. So it's just at the moment, just really enjoying bumping into. I know it sounds weird, but just really enjoying those conversations with people who have been there, done that.
Yeah. Well, look, and you know, as you know, you learn from those experiences. Once you try not to make the same mistakes. So sometimes, as you said, when you're young, but I want to make those mistakes. So those are fun mistakes to make.
I mean, with the coaching stuff, I tried to. I guess in my back of my head, I was getting alongside some of the younger boys in my position or whatever, and try to help them so they didn't have to. You know, you just try and here's a bit of free experience for you, without having to go through it. But I guess. You know, and rugby might be a bit different, but you actually just have to go through it.
Yeah. Oh, exactly, mate. Yeah. What about any advice, you know, for some of our listeners that are listening, and any advice, you know, in terms of, you know, what you're in through business, but also, you know, in sport, whatever, you know, that's kind of helped you or that you always cling to, you know, through life?
Oh, I got to a point where, as I said at the start, T, about, I guess being comfortable that you're not pigeonholed to be Tana Umanga, the Hurricane great, All Black great. You know, you're like your Tana Umanga father, you know, friend, whatever. And I think that is, for a sports person, I think that's one of the biggest things you can try and get to. Well, it certainly was for me. And, you know, as I say, I wish I found it when I was 21, because, you know, your career would have been a whole lot easier at times. But, you know, it probably was about 27, 28 when I found it. But I think getting to that space is, you just can't get there quick enough, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a who cares or I don't care what, you know, like a lot of people sort of say, you know, don't care what they think. But it's only natural when you're, especially when you're young, to worry about what they think of you or what their coach is thinking of you. Like even to a level, and I know it's massive play to not care what a coach thinks of you. I mean, but you've almost got to get to that point too, I think, to, well, this is what I can offer. I can't do that, but if this is going to be good enough for you, then take it. If not, then sweet. You know, like very much the thing that I learned is just be who you are. And we all know I wasn't the most graceful thing, so I was never going to pretend to be Dan Carter, you know. And so, you know, like that's I guess what I got to by the end, and what I, you know, if my young fellas ever decide to play footy or whatever, you know, that's what I'd be done. Just be who you are, and if it's good enough, it's good enough, sort of thing.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. 28, eh? I'm sure that's the age. It's the age that resonates with who we are. Started, actually.
The penny drop.
Yeah. I think that's
if only the legs were 24.
But last question, and mate, you're still a spring chicken looking at you. You know, health and well-being. You know, how do you look after yourself, mate, especially now you're really busy.
Yeah.
You know, what's do you have a, you know, regime or?
Yeah.
As good as a secret or?
No, I mean. I'm almost ashamed to admit it, and you'll probably fall off your chair because you knew I probably enjoyed a social time and what have you. But Monday to Friday, I'll get up at about – I'm not a big sleeper, so I get up at about 10 to 5 Monday to Friday, and I'll either go for a run down the road, or I've got gym equipment in the shed, and I'll bang out a 40-minute gym, and then I'll come back inside and the kids will be starting to rest, Russell, and – start my day. Nice. So I never thought that I'd be, I always said once I finish playing, I'm getting as fat as I can, I'm drinking, I'm eating whatever I want, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know, I just carried it on. And whenever I missed those days of training or doing something, I felt sloppy in myself. And you know, like the missus would say, go do something, because, you know, you'd almost get a bit grumpy or whatever, you know. I almost ashamed to admit it to you, but Monday to Friday, mate, I get up and I do something.
Nice. What about your nutrition?
It's not too bad. I must admit, finishing at 7 o'clock every night, getting home here at 8 o'clock, or you interrupted my smorgasbord Chinese tonight, but Once I got talking about 28 being the magic age, I got to 30 as far as a player and realised that it was the golden age where I couldn't eat and drink what I wanted. I was going to start putting on the weight.
Yeah.
So I did a bit of a cheat for my nutrition in the morning, just a blueberry protein shake every morning. And then that gets me through to lunch and then try and be healthy enough with lunch and then genuinely try and eat what the family eats for dinner, which is usually pretty healthy enough. But it is the job, you know, like the job. Working around that and, you know, like, because you're so busy, it's a lot easier to pull into a bakery and get a sausage roll than it is to find some, you know, like some eggs or something.
It's probably cheaper too, eh?
Well, possibly.
Hey, brother. Hey, look, I really appreciate your time. And look, I'm just blown away because you said that you started in the middle of the year last year. And I thought, you know, when I saw a picture of you, had all the product that you was just about to go out when you launched. And I mean, that must have taken ages, you know, like it took us 3 years to get to where before we launched it. But you've done bloody awesome to do what you're doing. And you know, the guys you've got around you and your mindset and your work ethic, eh? I'm sure you'll be a success, brother, whatever you do. So, you know, wishing you all the best in that and appreciate your time. It's always good to catch up.
Thanks, teammate. No problem at all, mate. No problem at all.
Okay then, brother. Thanks for listening. Make sure to check out Victual's website at www.victual.co.nz so you can rebalance your lifestyle with ancient wisdom and ingredients.